Well, Happy New Year to everybody out there in Radio Land. This is Linda Sims. The name of the show is A Voice of a People, coming to you live on WGH Talk. How you doing today? It's been kind of gloomy around here, like not really a lot of sunshine or just kind of rainy. Missed the snow for Christmas, but, you know, a week before Christmas, we did have some flurries and snow and some heavy wind. It kind of looked blizzardry at a moment of time, but not really much. But I adopted that for Christmas snow. So those of you who did have Christmas snow, we're kind of jealous of you right now today. Let me share this with you. We also stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com, or you can download a free app called TuneIn on any electronic device and search WWGH. Okay, or if you want to call in and be a part of the show, please call 740-383-9944. If you just want to ask a question or you just want to be a part of the show, really. I hope everyone had a great Christmas. Now we're headed for the new year, and I'm saying Happy New Year, everybody. 2024 is knocking on your door, 2024, looking for great things, looking also for God's blessings to continue to bless each and every one of us in our listening area and beyond that. I will have a live call-in guest in a few minutes. There are some things I really do need to share with you about those who faithfully support A Voice of a People. Also, hold on one moment. Sorry about all the noise. Oh, I think they're calling in already. Hold on here. Phones. Hello, caller. You are on the air.
Good morning, Linda. How are you?
I am doing great. How are you doing today?
Pretty good, pretty good. Just had the grands doing a little bit of pickup on the mess that they've made for the last couple of days. And, you know, of course, they didn't do it. No one seems to have done it. It must have been the elf, the Christmas elf. And I don't even have a Christmas elf. So,
Wow. Go figure, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And no one wants to clean up.
Well, yeah. But they did. They did. So I'm real pleased with that.
Okay.
Oh, these kids. I'm telling you.
So how was your Christmas?
You know, it was really, really good. For a secular Christmas, we probably could not have had a better Christmas. Everyone, you know, enjoyed each other's company and things of this sort, but the majority of my family is not walking with the Lord, and that just breaks my heart. And it really is, that is a war that I have each year, because I host Christmas here within our house, Calvin and I do, and we always start the meal out with a prayer. And for the last handful of years, I have started reading some scripture regarding Christmas, and I was doing that this year, and some of the adults were in another room, but rather than being quiet, they were talking, you know, stuff which I found irritating. So as the day went on, though, I didn't think about it or anything of this sort, because I thought, Lord, you are in control. We teach our clubs how, we teach the children within our clubs how you are in control. And even though our plan is one thing, you are the completer of those plans. And so, you know, I just didn't let it bother me. I just didn't let it bother me, and we had a great, like I said, a great secular Christmas.
Okay.
But his word was spoken. I read it right from the Bible, so I'm just claiming that his word's not going to be void. and he had the people in place that he wanted to hear at this time. And just trust God from there, you know?
That's all we can do.
Right. Right.
Because it's his job.
But
you know?
It was a nice Christmas. It's always nice to get together with the family.
Oh, yes.
Since I'm the host, I go through the whole day visiting with people, and I may get through a whole story that someone is sharing.
Okay.
And I don't even know if I do that. but it's still nice to have the adults here and the grands here, and so I'm not even going to complain about the weather. I mean, you know, we grow up with this romantic aspirations of wanting to have a white Christmas, right?
Right.
This wet Christmas was fine.
Yeah, it was.
It was nice.
There's nothing we could do about it. Take it or leave it, right?
Yeah. But, you know, the temperature was nice. It was nice to have people able to come and go and not worry about them getting stuck on a slippery road or whatever. So even that was, I found very refreshing.
You're right about that. So true, so true.
How was your Christmas?
My Christmas was good. Well, you know, I recently was married here in May, so I had a chance to entertain my husband's family. On I think it was Friday. At least one of his daughters, her family came. And
Linda, I'm having trouble hearing you.
You hear me now?
I can then.
Okay. Well, anyway, they came and I had the honor and privilege to host them at my home, and I was nervous at first because it was the first time, but everything went well. They walked in and acted like they had been there 100 times. So that made it really easy, you know, for me. So I cooked a big turkey, like a 14-pound turkey, and I figured if I did that and just made sides, you know, that would last us through the holiday. And it really has. It was a good idea for me to do. So
I think Christmas dinner, Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday.
Mine too.
And I think Thanksgiving and Christmas dinner is just the easiest to make because we always do a turkey for both of the holidays. And then in Christmas, we have a complimentary ham. And so, and then the side dishes are always the traditional. You know, you have, I go ahead and open up a couple quarts of our canned green beans and make mashed potatoes, and then I do candy yams, and then I'll do like maybe some type of roll, you know, and sometimes my sister will bring it, sometimes I'll supply it, and then everyone else will bring a covered dish in. So we have the basics, and then everyone else supplies, you know, like their best dish or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just not a brainer. That's one thing that is stress-free.
So how many...
The dinner itself is so stress-free.
So
because
many,
we know what we're going to have, and
right.
and what we always have is appreciated, so I don't have to worry about that. And it is nice to have everyone sit down. A couple of our mid-age grandchildren got to be promoted to the adult table this year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was big for them. But, we try to interject as much of the meaning of Christmas in everything that we do. Like, you know, the Christmas blessing and the reading of God's Word. And even like with the kids after, when they start settling down and stuff like this, and we'll be, you know, just talking to them about any kind of questions they have, or, you know, different traditions that they have and stuff like this. I don't go ahead and pull the foundation out from underneath any of the parents' traditions. You know, I just, if they ask, like, well, why don't we have a house elf? And I just simply say, well, that's something that we've just never had, you know, and just leave it at that, because they'll learn, you know, they'll learn that. And I just want to know that, well, you know, maybe Jesus didn't have a house elf, so we just don't have one. You know, so I kind of try to take it right back to the biblical story of it as much as possible without breaking any family tradition, because Lord knows there's enough stones or bricks in that wall between their spirit and our spirit already. And, you know, we'll tell the kids the truth, but we don't want to add to the building of that wall.
Right.
And like with the boys that I have here regularly, we're able to share more devotions with them. And in fact, this morning we were watching, even this morning, we were watching a little bit of TV, and a question came up, and one of the boys answered it for the other one, and it was a good question, and it was a good answer, and his answer was a biblical answer. So I went ahead and only added a few other points, because you have to teach them in increments. And so I went ahead and added a little more meat to his answer, and complimented him on that, you know, thinking of that answer, because that was correct. So we are the Holy Spirit, and I did pray before the family came in that his presence would be in this house so thick that they would walk into this house and feel a difference. And I do believe everyone did walk into this house and knew that they were welcome. I have some young adult grandchildren now that felt comfortable bringing their boyfriends and girlfriends in, and you know, we welcomed all of them in and gave our grandchildren the hugs too, you know.
Right.
So I'm just leaving it up to God that my prayer is that this house was filled with his love that day. And I always pray that this house is filled with his love all the time, but that it was exceptionally prevalent. They could really tell there was a love for the Lord from radiating from us as well, that they could see that visual, that they would have a visual to see, as well as a comfort of the spirit. And so now we'll go back in the schools. I know that the leadership, you know, these couple of weeks off from club is always welcome to be spending time with family and not having to worry about getting a lesson plan ready, not worrying about having to break up your day to run over to a school to have your club for, you know. So that's always welcome. And it's just a time for us to recharge our batteries. Now, next week when we go back in,
right,
if my three monkeys that are here are any example of what we're going to go back to the school with, whoa, we're going to need our batteries recharged.
And you know that happens until they get settled down. But I did want to say this. Our biggest testimony and example is the exuberance of God's love and presence that does come from us. You know, that is our greatest testimony. They can feel it.
That's living the walk.
Yes, they can feel that.
And so many times, you know, if we if we have a bad hair day, we've talked about this before, where sometimes we have a bad hair day, and someone sees that, and they're like, oh, and you know, like especially when they know that we proclaim to be Christians, and then we have a bad hair day, and they when we see that, and they don't stop and think. And I've really come to, I've really come to James, and he wrote, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slower to anger.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that is a verse that I have, has become like my mantra, because people do have bad hair days. They have bad days. Something, you know, maybe it's just an anniversary. That day may be the anniversary of someone that they lost, and they're still grieving. Or you know, maybe they have a teen child or grandchild living within their house that needs help, and they're willing to help them, but they're stuck on stupid.
Yeah.
You know, and that is really irritating for an adult. And it can just... You know, there's multiple reasons for people to have a really wretched day. And when we see somebody acting out, we have to really stop and think. And really, really pray for them, too, I guess, is another thing that I have learned, is that when I see somebody having a bad day, just say, Lord, whatever is happening in their life, give them peace. You know, because he's the creator of all things,
yes.
And he knows what's going on in our life.
Yes.
He knows what's going on in every person on this earth. And what a huge, huge God we have.
Amen.
Who can do that.
Billions and billions
things.
Of people on this
and
earth.
And we just need to lift these people up to them. We
yes.
may be the only one, Linda, who listens, or we may be the only one who is receptive enough to kind of pick up on it
mm-hmm.
and lift that person up at that moment.
Right.
We may be the only person who ever lifts them up. Our culture is drifting away from God more and more.
Oh, I know.
It's just becoming more and more secular. Or, if it's a secular culture, and if you're only living in the culture as it is, you are living for Satan. Because he's in control of our culture. And,
yes,
you know,
he
these
is.
People don't realize that. And so we may be the only person who's lifting that person up, period.
You know, I kind of hear what you're saying. I prayed over two people. One was in Walmart, and the other one was in Kohl's. Right in front of I didn't even think about it. Who was watching or the crowds. It was like right now I needed to pray for those people, you know, those two young ladies. And the girl
yeah.
said, like, well, thank you, as if no one had really laid hands on her and prayed. I'm like, for her. She was barely walking. And I just, well, what's wrong? You know, young girl. Well, she's dealing with, what they call the endometriosis. I think that's what it's called.
Well.
The endro.
I know it's hard. It really is hard to put ourselves out there, isn't it?
Yes, but I didn't even think about it. It was nothing to
mm-hmm.
lay my hands on her and pray. I
yeah,
just felt,
I,
you know, compelled to do that. And no, you don't see that too often anymore. I didn't want to think that I was the only one lifting her up or praying for her. You know, maybe people are praying for her a different way.
I'm having trouble seeing you again.
I wouldn't want to think that I'm the only one praying for her. Maybe other people are praying for her in different ways. Because some people say, well, I'll pray for you. And then they go on and they don't remember. You know, I believe in praying like right now. Can you hear me? Cheryl?
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, I praise God that we do have some strong spiritual leaders within our circle.
and that when something comes up
within the family, that I can text the circle of friends, and I know it's a done deal. You know, I know that when I ask them for prayer and why, that they will pray for that child, or they will pray for that issue, that situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I never worry about it not being covered with prayer. And I you know, the same way, it's like when that circle thing, they include me in a prayer request, I don't want them to ever have to worry about that prayer being used with the Lord. And oftentimes, I like to have that the person, you know, give their, like, how do you want me to pray for it? Because I want to be on the same page as they are. You know, I want to be praying for that situation or that child or that person the same way, so that we can be one voice, you know.
I don't even think about that.
I just thank God that we have prayer warriors.
Yeah, that's true. I don't even think about that, whether I'm on the same page with them or not, because I believe that my faith can override their unbelief.
Because, I mean, that as the culture drifts away more and more from church, more and more, and that's a drifting, that's a rebellious spirit from God.
Oh,
and as we don't gather together, just like Christmas here at the house, you know, we read the scripture, we prayed, Calvin, you know, prayed for the blessing of the food, and that we thanked him for Christ Jesus coming,
mm-hmm.
leaving heaven and coming here to be born as a child, and ultimately to die on the cross for our sins. So the gospel was in that prayer,
mm-hmm.
and whoever was in the house heard it.
Right.
You know, that's one thing about ears. They hear everything, whether we really are paying attention or not. But when that happens, God can bring those things back to memory when it's time for that person to hear it.
Oh, yeah.
And same thing with, like, our getting together, you know, visiting with one another and stuff. We just are so busy to where church isn't the only place that we gather together. But as we're coming and going from church, do we take any time to really talk to somebody? You know, all we do is say, hi, how are you? But do we actually get to stop and talk to somebody in any kind of detail? I was just thinking, now that the house is clean, I have promised to have some friends out. You and Ed are a couple of them. and I'm thinking, I got to do it now while the house is clean, because it's not going to stay clean. So, you know, but I will enjoy when you and Ed come out to visit, I will enjoy having that adult time with you.
yeah. I understand. I really do. You know, like you said, we're so busy. I really haven't had anyone at my home. So, it's, and his family that did come, you know, I really appreciated that. We set aside that time, and, you know.
But, you know, that's another way of getting together.
Yes,
you know,
it
getting
is.
Getting together with each other, and that's another way of strengthening one another.
Oh, yes.
So that when we do get back out there, we know that we aren't alone.
Right.
In this world that has just been crumbled, the foundation, you know, the Christian foundation has just been crumbling away. And, you know, again, that is a horrible tool that Satan uses. He uses the tool of isolation to weaken our faith. And especially as we get older, you know, there's a lot of shut-in things. And he uses that tool. Because oftentimes I have a friend that is in down in Delaware, and I love her to death. She was my mentor for years and years and years. And I think about calling her, but then I think, oh, it's the wrong time of the day, because in the morning, she's busy with the nursing things. Excuse me. And then in the afternoon, I don't want to wait too late, because then she starts getting drowsy, you know, and so
right.
Here goes a day.
Right.
Passes. And the priest says, it's a week. And you know, that's how it goes on. It's like, oh, Lord, I've got to make a call to her, you know.
Right.
But that's, I am sure that there are many people who probably think that she is being visited because she was well-loved, and she is well-loved. But I'm sure that there are many church people who think, well, I'd like to go down here, but I'm sure she's got a lot of company. And that's not the case. You know, that's not always the case.
That's true.
So isolation is real, and it's not judged with our older people anymore either. Our young people, our 40s, 30s, 20-somethings, you know, they come home, or they might be remote now. Many of my family's working remote, and so they're on the phone all day long, doing their work, and on the computer all day long, and then their entertainment is on the computer.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
You know, so that personal touch or that personal conversations, my adult kids, they say they hate talking on the phone. Well, then I go ahead and I connect them with a group chat.
Mm-hmm.
But when I connect them with a group chat, I also make sure that their responses only come back to me so that they're not irritated with that, because you find that irritating too.
Mm-hmm.
So the isolation, Satan has got that down to a science on how he's isolating people, and how the isolation they know really affects their demeanor and their emotional state.
This is the great falling away that they talk about in Thessalonians.
Yeah. And as Christians, we really need to be aware of that and take the time to even just text somebody, you know, if that's the way they communicate. But text them, ask them, hey, can you call me? Like to talk to you, you know, that type of thing. Or just letting them know. Send them a cute little card or one of those.
I guess so, because I have two grandsons that
can't really
reach anymore.
Just send
I don't
it
know
to
where
them.
They are.
Even
you know?
If I love getting it in the mail.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still at the age where I enjoy getting mail, and I cannot believe that the younger generation would not enjoy getting a card in the mail. I cannot believe that would not be appreciated greatly.
Oh, it would be appreciated.
Just letting them know that you love them and you're thinking about them. And that, hey, you're on my prayer list.
Yes.
I keep you lifted up to the Lord every day, whether you like it or not.
Amen. 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 Yeah, that's all we can do, because I have two grandsons. I don't know where they are. They're just, it's foolishness. That's what the Bible calls it. It's foolishness. And their reasoning and listening to men of the world, in the world, and their philosophy, the philosophies of men. And, you know, it's like something totally different from what they were taught. A little bit of truth, but the rest is lies. And they've bought it, hook, line, and sinker. But only God can turn that around, and I know that. And I'm trusting him for that.
Yeah.
Because they both gave their life to Christ years ago, but it's like the devil's still trying to steal God's people. Or whatever means necessary.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And that has been the devil's plan and desire from the very beginning.
From the very beginning.
You know, he's relentless at it.
Yes, he is.
He's relentless. And that's where we have to keep it in mind. But then when you have churches that aren't even talking about good and evil, that's not even talking about heaven and hell, you know, and they're not even talking about sin and what sin is and how you need to have a change of heart. You need to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior.
Well, does your pastor preach out of the Bible? Does your pastor teach out of the Bible, or does he come with notes? Cheryl?
I have a little one crying inside the house.
I hear him.
Yeah.
How old is he?
I'm sure.
They were helping me, like I said, they were helping me straighten up the house. And then my oldest grandson says, well, if you let us play our games, we'll be really quiet as mice. And I'm like, okay, I'll let you play the games while I'm talking to Miss Linda.
Right.
And so then this is what I get.
Well, you've been on the phone for a while. And they're figuring, well, we're at the end of our rope right now. So it's like a 10:45. So, you know, kids, I guess we can be thankful that they lasted this long.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. So true.
Yes,
so
that
true.
Is true.
Well, what are you looking
for? I want to apologize to your audience that if my talk has gone like a 180 to whatever your talk was, it's because I'm having a hard, I think I hear maybe one or two of your comments for every segment
crazy.
That you talk.
That's so crazy.
And so,
I got the phone up.
I don't mean to run over you.
Can you hear me better? I turned it up a little bit.
I'm talking.
I hear this buzzing, but you don't hear me, do you?
No, I don't. Unfortunately, I just hear a lot of squawking.
And I hear you off and on. So I guess you can talk by yourself.
Yeah.
I'm sorry about that. Sometimes that
works. Accused of being too quiet.
Can you hear me now?
I can.
Better?
Yes, it is better.
Okay, well, that button wasn't turned on like it should have been. All righty then. Now, what are you looking forward to for this new year?
Well, I'm looking forward to, you know, obviously getting back into the schools and just continue teaching the children in the Good News Club. It really is a delight for the kids. I mean, we really do enjoy the kids. Now, here's a prayer for all your listeners. Our clubs have been smaller this year, and that's across the board in Marion County. Our clubs have been smaller, but, you know, we're still in there teaching the children, and the children who are coming are dedicated. I mean, they're coming every week and stuff. But, boy, it would be nice to have more children come. Spring will be starting up pretty soon, so that means the spring sports will be coming. And, of course, the children will be blown away with that. But we will stay there until the end of March and beginning of April. We'll stay in the schools and continue teaching God's word, you know. Now, in Elgin, they have got LifeWise coming in. And LifeWise is another opportunity for children with parent permission to be able to teach or to be taught the Word of God. And I don't know the curriculum of LifeWise. I think I mentioned this the last time we spoke. I need to take some time and Google it and read the curriculum. Because I don't know how strong it is, you know.
Right.
But it is a good program, and it is in a lot of school districts. LifeWise is done through the school day, where if a child's special, I guess they take in consideration like their the specialty period, like library or gym or something of that sort. And if that works out for a child, then the parent can give them permission, and then those children are taken off the campuses of the schools and usually taken to maybe another church or a senior's facility, you know, like a center, senior center, something of that sort, where they can then have a brief teaching, and then they're taken back to the schools for their period to be for their time to be back in the school for that period. So it's another opportunity for kids to have exposure to the Word of God, is my understanding. And if not for the Word of God, like CEF does, like Child Evangelism Fellowship does through the Good News Club, it's at least a moral teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's happening in sometime the first of the year for Elgin, which is really exciting. So, like I said, I'd like to see our Good News Clubs across Marion County grow, because it is an after-school program. And so the parents can come and pick up their child after the one day a week Good News Club. A lot of parents, they pick up their children anyways.
Right.
If the parents who pick up their kids after school would allow their child to stay that extra hour, this is Elgin, on Tuesdays, we would have probably 50-some kids or more in our club.
That'd be great.
And that would be if parents would just adjust their schedule for that one day of the week. We could have 50-some, and I would say maybe even close to 100 kids.
Mm-hmm.
That might be a little too much, but I know we'd have at least a 50-some strong club where the kids would be learning biblical principles that can take them far in life and eventually take them through eternity if they learn to trust Jesus as their Savior.
That's true. So true.
And whenever parents have come and listened to our teaching, I have never had a parent leave in a halt because they disagreed with what we were teaching. I've always had parents who have enjoyed listening to the Bible lesson. They've always enjoyed the singing and the memory verses. But I've never had a parent leave in a huff because of what we were teaching their children.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that for me, I would just be praying and asking people to pray more fervently for these avenues of how to reach these children. For the upcoming 2024 year.
Well, it's right here knocking on our door, or we are knocking on 2024's door.
Yes.
What did you learn in 2023, you think, that stands out?
Putting God's word that I teach to the children, really, a couple of times, here recently especially, it has been put it in action.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do what you teach.
Amen.
Trust in God. There were some memory verses that we were teaching the Good News Clubs this year, and then one of the helpers was going to step down because he really thought that he wasn't really cut out for the Good News Club, because this year the kids have been crazy wild. And so he was old school enough where, you know, he wanted to discipline. And so that's it. I tried to, I asked him that if he would just reconsider, that would be wonderful. And I took a couple of days, and I was just talking to the Lord about it and praying, and God said, show him our memory verses. And so I sent him a text letting him know just how valuable, because, you know, it really is. People have to realize when they're volunteering, especially to work with children and stuff, kids are not the way they were when you were growing up. You know, kids have free reign so much of the time. And and to try, and the way we can discipline is so different and stuff. So I was sharing with them how important it is for men to be a part of the teams, because these kids need to have male role models.
Oh, yes.
And that his, the value that he had on the team was absolute. You know, it's just priceless. And then I shared with them the verses. And Linda, I can't, they're not coming to memory right now. But I shared with them the verses about how it was that, you know, I wish I could remember it. Sorry. But it's talking about, God was talking about how his plan is to prosper us and to do good for us, you know, and things of that sort. And about how also his plan is higher than any plan that we have, you know. And so I shared that with him, as well as another verse that we had been teaching the kids. And I simply said, it's time to put those words into action.
Right.
And then, just this past couple of weeks, I'm helping with a club over in Kenton. And one of the helpers, because I'm teaching the Bible story, but there's a woman who's teaching the missionary story, and there's a woman who's doing the memory verse, and there was an issue that came up, and so the woman who was teaching the missionary story, she says, we need to put into action what we have been teaching the children all along. And I mean, it was like, bam, a neon light in my head. And I'm like, oh, you are so, because I'm the one who's always saying this stuff, you know? And then here she says it to me, and I'm like, oh, you are so right. And so it is constantly, I think what I've really learned just really, really this fall is keeping God's word out there for people to see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, it goes back to what we were talking about with the Christmas get-together and stuff, just letting God be seen through us.
Oh, yeah.
And so I think that's a really big thing, especially now in the day and age that we live in. It's just letting that neon light shine. Let it be a glare, you know?
Right.
So I know we don't always have to be vocal about it, but when someone talks to us, and you know they're on the route the wrong way, we need to at that point in time questioning, guilt thinking as to why are you taking that attitude, or why is that your opinion, or you know, how did you come up with that answer?
Right,
and then be prepared to redirect them to God's word, you know.
And right.
And other times where we just be quiet, let them listen, and just immediately start praying for them. So I really think that it is really putting in action what God's word says.
Well, thank you, Cheryl. We are out of time.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Linda?
Yes, we are out of time.
Is it time to go?
Yes. It is time to go, and I am so sorry about this volume thing, that you couldn't hear me that well. But Happy New Year to you and your family.
Well, thank you, Linda. Happy New Year to you and Ed and to your family, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. God bless.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you for listening to A Voice of a People with Linda Sims here.
You're listening to The Talking Place. The legendary star of The Facts of Life, Charlotte Ray, Mrs. Garrett.
How much of Mrs. Garrett is in Charlotte Ray?
I'm not, you know, they made Mrs. Garrett perfect, which was ridiculous, as I wrote in the book. I mean, they never let me yell at the kids or anything, which most parents, you know, all the kids wanted a mother like Mrs. Garrett. Well, she wasn't real, because most mothers lose their temper sometime and they get mad, and so on and so forth. Anyway.
To the voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid, legendary actress Pat Carroll.
And I think